Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service of worship today by singing together the Psalm number 65 in your hymn book. You'll find it in the page number 57. We're just going to sing verses 1 to 5 of the Psalm, Psalm 65. Praise waits for thee in Zion, Lord. To thee vows paid shall be, O thou that hear art of prayer. All flesh shall come to the iniquities I must confess, prevail against me do. But as for our transgressions all, then purge away shalt thou. Psalm number 65, verses 1 to 5, in the page 57, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Let us stand as we sing. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look afresh to the Lord this morning, praying for His help and His presence to be known amongst us. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we bow humbly and reverently, O God, in Thy holy and sacred presence. And we come to Thee today in no merit of our own. Realize, O God, that in and of ourselves we have nothing to offer before Thee. Yet, O God, we thank Thee today for one who is our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He who knew no sin. And, O God, we thank Thee afresh today for Christ, who coming into this world to be our Savior. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for His death upon the cross of Calvary as our substitute. And Father, we thank Thee that there He shed His blood and died, that we might ever in Thy love, O God, confide. We thank Thee, O God, today for the perfect righteousness of Christ, that robe that has been arrayed to the people of God and imputed by faith through Jesus Christ our Lord. And O God, we thank Thee, O God, today that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank Thee for the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And we thank Thee, O God, for the righteousness of Christ that blots out our iniquities and our own self-righteousness, O God, before Thee. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, today for one who has died, one who has risen, one who is exalted, O God, at Thy right hand, and one who ever lives to intercede for the people of God. And, O God, we come to Thee today through Christ our Redeemer. And we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the God who hears and answers prayer, even as the psalmist has spoken of in this psalm that was sung together this morning. And, Father, we thank Thee that Thou art one that blesses Thy people. Now, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou art the fount of every blessing, of every good and every perfect gift. And, Father, we thank Thee that Thou art our confidence, Thou art our strength, Thou art our rock, and Thou art our refuge. And, O God, as we come to Thee, O Lord, today in prayer and in worship, we do pray, O God, that Thou would bless our coming together here in Thy house today. We realize our faces differ, and so do our needs. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that Thou art able to meet us at the very point of our need today. And do bless every believer, every child of Thine in this gathering today. We pray that Thou will encourage and strengthen and bless and edify Thy people in the ways of God. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power, Lord, of Thy might. For any, Lord, with us today going through times of testing and trial and difficulty, Lord, strengthen them by the grace and power of God. Any, Lord, who may be cold at heart, maybe afar from the Lord, may they know Thy restoring touch within their heart and life even today. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, be the young or be the old, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt speak to them today, and that they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord, and trust the Lord as their Savior and as their Redeemer. Lord, bless our meetings today to this end. We thank Thee for our Sabbath school this morning. Bless the boys and girls and our young people in Bible class, and help them each one early in life to seek Thee and to follow Thee and to serve Thee. Remember all our teachers in the Sunday school. May they know the help and the blessing of the Lord. Again, we bring before Thee the work of the Youth Fellowship and the Bethel Children's Crusade and every other outreach, Lord, from this congregation. May the hand of the Lord's blessing be upon it, and may it be owned and blessed and used of God to see souls saved and Thy kingdom extended in this part of Thy vineyard, we pray. We pray for those that cannot join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace of God. Draw near to them, be they in home or residential care or in hospital. And Lord, those who would need a special touch in their body at this time, lay on Thy healing hand. Lord, Thou who art the great physician, we pray, give help and healing and strength and undertake, we pray. And Father, for others that have suffered loss in recent times, we pray that they will know the comforting hand of God, and that Thou wilt indeed fill the vacant chair with the presence of God. And Lord, be their helper and be their strength. We pray for every family and household connected with our congregation, that Thou would bless each one, and that Thou would unite each family circle in the Lord. O God, we pray. Do remember any from our fellowship off on holiday at this time. May they know a time of reviving and refreshing. Remember young people as well from our congregation at the camp in Castle Wellen. May they meet with the Lord there, and may they know the blessing of the Lord upon them, even at this weekend that we ask. Father, we do pray that Thou wilt bless our land today, O God. We pray for all our sister congregations, every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will preach Thy word. May they know the help and the blessing and the enablement of God to proclaim Thy word. And Lord, as Thy word is faithfully preached here, there, and yonder, across our land today, north and south of the border, We think of the mainland of Britain and indeed further afield. We pray that thou wilt bless the faithful preaching of thy word to the extension of the kingdom of God. Remember our missionaries as well, O God. We thank thee for them. We pray that thou wilt encourage them greatly in the Lord. Meet their every need. Keep them in health and strength. And use them for the glory of thy name. Remember Brother Colin and Noel as they commence that mission tonight up in John Knox. We pray that thy blessing will be upon these meetings night by night. That thou wilt bring the people in, especially from around that Shankill Road area. And that thou wilt give thy servants souls for their hire there. And that thou wilt bless them and use them for the glory of the Lord. Father in heaven, we do pray for our land and our nation at this time, that thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon it. Lord, we realize that we deserve thy judgment, yet, Lord, we pray that in wrath thou wilt remember mercy. And even, Lord, in this week of election here in our own land and our nation, we pray that thou would intervene. And Lord, we pray, Lord, even against those that would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to thy word and to the truths of thy word. We pray that thou would bring their plans and their schemes, O God, to nothing, we pray. And that, Lord, those that would profess thy name, Lord, give them wisdom and guidance and strength and favor. And even, Lord, courage to stand for thy word and for thy truth and for the testimony of the Lord, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that rule in our nation, have mercy upon them. And may they realize their accountability to God. And may there be that turning unto the Lord among such, we pray. Have mercy, Lord, upon our royal family as well. We pray that the light of thy word and the light of thy truth will shine into that household. And that there will be a turning from darkness unto the light and the liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray especially, Lord, for the land of Ukraine today, that thou wilt bless it. Lord, bring that war to an end, we pray, in mercy and in grace. Drive back Putin and his forces, we pray. And we pray especially for your people in that land, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt protect them. And even give them peace today to meet together to worship thy name. And Lord, use their testimony there at this time for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. So, Father, bless us now, we pray, as we further praise thy name, O God, as we, Lord, read thy word, preach thy word. Save us today from the deadness of the letter, we pray. Outpour thy spirit upon this congregation. Remember, Lord, those who may be listening in online as well. May your hand of mercy, O God, be upon them and meet with them as thou too would see their particular need. Bless us now, we pray, in everything that is said and done. Glorify the Savior. Bless us around the table of the Lord as we break bread, as we remember Calvary. May our hearts and souls as thy people be molded and afresh out after Christ. And Lord, may we be encouraged even as we consider afresh what Christ has done for us. And led on with God. Abide with us now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Create within us a clean heart. Renew within us, Lord, a right spirit. And forgive us for our sins. And help us, Lord, to worship thee today in spirit and in truth. For we do pray and we do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen. We're going to further worship the Lord in a praise this morning. We're singing together hymn number 42. Hymn number 42 in the page 192 of your hymn book. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. Hymn number 42 in the page 192, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing. Have your Bible with you today. Would ask you to turn, please, in God's Word to the book of the Psalms for Bible reading, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, reading that Psalm through in its entirety. And then turning over, please, to the New Testament book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 4, and reading from verse 1 of the chapter down to the end of verse number 16. So if you'd like to mark those two readings in your Bible, first of all, reading from Psalm 133, and then turning over to Ephesians, the chapter 4, and the verse number 1. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 133, and the verse number 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, then went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Then turning over to Ephesians chapter 4, and the verse number 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, and maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 16, and our prayer is that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting this morning, I want to welcome everyone in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us here today. And our prayer is the Lord will bless you. Indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship together around God's Word. We welcome our brother, Mr. George Robinson, wife from Toronto. Nice to have you with us here in fellowship. And trust the Lord will bless you at this time. We've been back home here in Northern Ireland. And also to those that may be listening in online, whoever you are, wherever you are today, our prayer is the Lord will bless you and meet you at the point of your need through his word and through the ministry of his truth to your heart today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as Savior, when the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way, and we trust as many as possible able to gather for that season of remembrance after the meeting this morning. Tonight at 6:30 is the evening prayer meeting in the prayer room at the rear. Do remember that. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer. And then the gospel service tonight at 7 p.m. We'll be long to take that meeting, pray for that meeting, plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. Do remember today being the first Sunday of the month is also building fund offering. So do remember that, please. Tuesday night here in the church at 8 p.m., there's a meeting for all communicant members of the church. The purpose of this meeting really is to adopt the church constitution and also to adopt all church elders as property-holding trustees. This is really in compliance with Charity Commission regulation and laws in our land. So do remember that. It is a meeting that is open to all. All are welcome, but it is only those on the night who are communicant members that are able to vote. So just remember that, and just bring a pen and pencil with you for the voting. So remember that, please, on Tuesday night. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting here in the church. Remember the other meetings as well on Tuesday night out at Tresna, and then on Thursday night at McGuire's Bridge as well. And then that'll be followed by the youth fellowship meeting here on Friday night, 8 o'clock. Commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible of the youth will gather for that season of fellowship. Also, this Friday night, 8 o'clock, is the monthly meeting of our presbytery, and that will be held in Dungannon Free Presbyterian Church on Friday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 8th of May, Sunday School and Bible Class, 11 a.m., morning worship service, 12 noon, the evening gospel service at 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer, and we'll be long, God willing, to minister God's word. Monday night, the 9th of May, that's a week from tomorrow night, 8 p.m., is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting here in the church. That's open to all ladies who are welcome and to bring friends with them. And the speaker next Monday evening, the 9th of May, will be our sister, Mrs. Olive Maxwell. So do remember that and pray for her sister as she brings God's word on that evening. Also on Monday night, the 9th of May at 8 p.m., there's a Consider Christ prayer meeting in our Auchnacloy Church. And if any of the brethren wanting to go to that, I'll be going along. I do come along. We'll value your fellowship there at that. Tuesday night, the 10th of May at 9:30, there's a meeting for the church committee. Ask all the deacons and members of committee just to remember that also, please. Tuesday, the 10th of May at 9:30. Saturday, the 21st of May, is the monthly Consider Christ outreach again to County Cavan. Pray for that. And again, if anyone wishes to go, let me know and we'll let you know the details. Friday night, the 10th of June at 7:30 p.m., our church committee are having a barbecue and fellowship evening. That's over in Castle Archdale Country Park. And again, that's open to all members and friends and family, young and old alike. There are sheets for that out on the table in the porch. Just put your family name down on the sheet, the number of adults and children, if you have any dietary requirements as well. But do remember that. We'll be able to acquire the group campsite area. That's like an open barn. It's a sheltered area. And our brother, Reverend Morris Baxter and the wife that night will be doing the cooking for us. So remember that. Put your name on the sheet. I trust as many as possible able to go to that evening of fellowship. Let the Bible Speak magazines are available. We commend that to you. You'll find good reading there. I'll also commend to you also another little booklet produced by the Christian Institute, and this is regarding questions for candidates in the up-and-coming assembly election. I commend that wee booklet to you. You'll find good reading there, and really deals with many of the immoral issues that many are seeking to promote in our society at this time. So I commend that to you, something that God's people certainly need to read and to consider, even to come up to the time of election. So do remember that, please. The Missionary Vision Conference, organized by our Mission Board, is in Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church from Saturday the 7th of May through to Saturday, the following Saturday in May for 1 week. Saturday at 7:30, weeknights at 8. There's various speakers, and there's wee leaflets for that out there on the table on the porch. Also, our sister, Mrs. Pat Charlton, has asked me again to mention the Ministry of Active Listening and the need for helpers. This is really a Christian telephone ministry, really to give counsel and help to those in need and crisis. And if you can help with this, contact our sister, Pat, or also our sister, Mrs. Audrey Marshall, who's involved in that. And do also please pray for Brother Mr. Colin Maxwell, Mr. Noel Shields, commencing a mission tonight up in John Knox Church in Belfast. For 2 weeks, so remember them in your prayers. The offering last Lord's Day came for Brother Mr. Chris Killen, came to 1,200, £77, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. And then previously the offering to her sister, Miss Joy Gillespie, came to £1,007, again for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. These are all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 614. 614, glorious things of thee are spoken. Zion, city of our God, he whose word cannot be broken, formed thee for his own abode, on the rock of ages founded. What can shake thy sure repose, with salvation's walls surrounded? Thou mayst smile at all thy foes. 614. We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn. We don't take up an offering during the service, but the offering plates are at the rear, so do remember that as you leave later on. 614, keeping our seats while we sing. Final verse. We'll turn again to that psalm that we read earlier, please, to Psalm 133. Psalm 133. And with God's word open before us, let us bow, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already in our meeting this day. We thank Thee for the hymns of Zion, the reading of Thy word. Lord, now as we come to consider Thy word, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds to receive with meekness the engrafted word of life. Help us, Lord, to be like David of old, the psalmist who could say, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee, O Lord. Bless Thy word to the strengthening of the saints of God. Bless Thy truth to the salvation of any in our gathering today not saved. And Lord, use Thy word today to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. To this end, undertake now for this preacher, fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God divine. And pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike, and have Thy way in every heart. We ask for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. Now the story is told of a father who had a family of quarrelsome sons. And one day he called his sons together and he gave one of the sons a stick to break. The son, he broke that stick with ease. Then the father handed the same son two more sticks. And again, the son broke those two sticks, though it required more strength. And then finally, the father gave the same son six sticks that were bound together, bundled together. And he told them to break them. Only this time, the son was unable to do this because they were bound together as one in strength. And he had to admit defeat. And with this whole episode, the father here was seeking to teach his sons the importance of unity in the family. By the six sticks that were bound together, he showed that when the family was united, there was strength amongst them. But by the breaking of the one stick with ease on its own, he showed the family that there was weakness when they were divided amongst themselves. And likewise, the same can be said of the Church of Christ, of the Church of God. Yes, she is strong whenever she is united as one. But it also must be said that she is weak when she becomes divided and fractured. And for this reason, Psalm 133, the psalm before us, is most important to God's people because it is a psalm that speaks to us of unity amongst the people of God. It refers to the unity of the Spirit, a unity that leads really to the strengthening and indeed the blessing of God's church and God's work, and a unity also that greatly honors and exalts the Lord Himself. Yes, most Bible commentators, they would agree that David penned the psalm when he himself was anointed king over Israel. This was a time whenever he united the 12 tribes of Israel together under his reign. The psalm before us is very short. There are just three verses by way of content. However, it is a psalm that is immense in importance for the Church of Christ and has been vitally important to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, down throughout the ages of time. Indeed, this psalm has been likened unto a fragrant rose because of its teaching regarding the fragrance of unity amongst the people of God. And for that particular reason, then, here's a psalm that deserves our thoughts and deserves our consideration. And as we would look at this psalm before us this morning, there are four things I want to leave with you regarding the matter of the unity of the Spirit amongst the people of God. Notice first of all here with me the commendation of this unity. And you see that commendation outlined in verse 1 of the psalm, where it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Notice there what that verse does not say. It does not say how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to quarrel or to devour one another. It does not say that. It says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, it says, to dwell together in unity. And there we see how the Lord commands this unity in His Word that is to be found amongst His people, His body, His church. Can we say this morning that this unity is not a uniformity through regulations or restrictions? It is not that. Also, it is not ecumenical unity at the expense of biblical doctrine and biblical truth. And people, can I make it clear this morning that the so-called unity of the ecumenical movement is an unscriptural unity? It is a unity that is not of God. It is a unity rather that is marked by the spirit of Antichrist. Indeed, the aim of the ecumenical movement is union with Roman Catholicism. And why the Church of Rome is a church of the Antichrist. Why? Because it puts the traditions and the teachings of men before the teaching of the Word of God. It's a church that promotes the worship of Mary, breaking the first commandment where God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." It is a church that exalts her priests, supposedly forgiving the sins of people in confession. And again, absolutely contrary to what the Word of God says, because only Christ can forgive sins. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Again, the Church of Rome is a church that exalts her popes in the place of Christ. The official title of every pope in the Church of Rome is the Vicar of Christ. In other words, the head of the Church of Christ here on earth. And that is completely false, because there is only one head of the church on earth, and that is Christ Himself, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, in the teaching of Roman Catholicism, they say that Mary was immaculately conceived, and they say also that whenever the Pope speaks ex cathedra, they are infallible. In other words, they speak without wrongdoing or without sin. And again, that is contrary to the Scriptures, because the Bible says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People, Roman Catholicism is a system of religion that is false. It is anti-God. It is anti-gospel. It is anti-Christ. It is against the Word of God. It's a system of religion that every believer must separate from. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." How sad it was just to learn there in recent times of a Presbyterian minister here from Northern Ireland visiting the Pope and having an audience with the Pope and describing the Pope as a follower of Christ, something that is far, far removed from the truth of God. Yes, the unity that is mentioned here is not the unity, the false unity of the ecumenical movement. It is not a unity built around man's regulations or restrictions, no. Rather, the unity that is mentioned here in Psalm 133 is the unity of the Spirit among God's believing people within the local church. And by this unity, yes, it means an avoiding of quarrels. It means a delighting in one another. It means, yes, a putting of one another's interests first. It is a unity that is grounded and it is centered upon the person and upon the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Savior. You think this morning of an orchestra, and in every orchestra you have different instruments. Those from the wind section, the string section, the percussion section, the brass section. But when they all come together and play as one, under the baton of the conductor, what do you have? You have a sound that is sweet and pleasing to all. And this is how it is with this unity of the Spirit that is mentioned here in our psalm. We're told here that it is good, that it is pleasant before the Lord. People, that makes it surely very clear to us that this unity in the local church is something that displeases God. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, it says there, "These six things doth the Lord hate, Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And what is the seventh? Verse 19 of that chapter gives the answer. It says, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. And there you see that disunity displeases the Lord. But it is not the case with this unity of the Spirit that is spoken of here in our psalm this morning. We're told here that it is good, that it is pleasant before the Lord. And child of God, unity in our church is something, yes, we should seek to guard, something we should seek to protect and maintain and encourage. Why? Because this unity is something that grieves the Lord. Why we should seek to maintain and encourage this unity, for it is agreeable to God's will. It is something that brings honor and glory to the Lord. You remember what the Lord says in the Gospel of Mark. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that really shows us how it is God's will for his people to love one another in the Lord. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 13. And you'll see this for yourself, John's Gospel, chapter 13. Look with me, please, at verse 34 and verse number 35. The Lord here is speaking to his own people, and he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Look at the words there of Christ. He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. And by love to one another in the Lord as believers, we show to the world, that's what Christ is saying here, that we are the disciples of Christ. That we belong to the Lord. We show the world that Christianity is something of great value, that it is something to offer. Brethren and sisters in Christ, yes, we are to show our love to our fellow believers in the Lord, especially in the local church and the local assembly. Why? Because we are redeemed by the same Savior. We serve the same Master. We cherish the same hope. We look forward to the same heaven. We are subject to the same trials and temptations, and we share together the same consolations as the people of God. And that passage of Scripture we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. Speaking there for the oneness, the unity that is found amongst the body of Christ, God's believing people. And see here, people, in our psalm this morning, the commendation of this unity. It says, behold, something we're to take note of in the Scriptures. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Notice secondly here the description of this unity. And you see that described in verse 2 of the psalm, where it says there, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. And here the psalmist speaks of the ointment that was used in anointing the Old Testament priest, the Jewish priest. And by this he describes how God values this unity of the Spirit amongst his people. And you'll see here that this unity is something that is fragrant to God. For whenever the high priest was anointed, the oil diffused a sweet smell. In Exodus chapter 30, it is described there as a perfume. It says, and thou shalt make it a perfume after the art of the apothecary. And likewise, this unity of the Spirit that is mentioned here in Psalm 133, it is sweet to God. It is sweet to all who behold it. You think this morning of a united home and a united marriage. It's a happy home. It's a blessed marriage. It's a sweet home. And likewise, the United Church is a joyful church, a happy church. There is sweet fellowship there amongst the people of God. And Isaiah 61, we read there of Christ's desire for his people. It says to give them the oil of joy for mourning. And brethren and sisters in Christ, whenever our hearts are knit together with God's people, we too will have that oil of joy that chapter speaks of. Also, this unity of the Spirit here is described as a holy unity before God. Again, think of the ointment that was used to anoint the high priest. It was a holy ointment. Exodus 30, the ointment there that was used for anointing the priest was described as being pure and holy. Likewise, believer, our concern for fellow believers is to be pure. It is to be holy. It's not to be false. It's not to be, as it were, for the sake of some personal gain. Peter, writing to God's people, says, "See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Also, this unity of the Spirit, it is something very precious in God's sight. Look again at verse 2 of the psalm. It is likened unto a precious ointment. And in the Old Testament, the ointment that was used to anoint the high priest, it was very precious. It was very costly. Exodus 30, verse 23 describes it as being made, it says, of principal spices. Something that was costly, something that was of great worth. And that really shows us that the unity of the Spirit is precious to God. Why? Because He uses a united church to win the lost. You turn with me back over to John's Gospel, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter number 17. And you'll see this for yourself in the great high priestly prayer of Christ. Look at John chapter 17, verse 20 and verse number 21. Here he is speaking of his people. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word." Notice it, "that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Notice it, "that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." And there you see how the Lord uses a united church. And brethren and sisters in Christ, whenever we are in harmony and accord with our fellow believers, then God can use us. He can use us to win the lost unto himself. Also, we can say further this morning that the unity of the Spirit is something that is essential before God. In the Old Testament, the high priest and his sons, they must be anointed with this anointment before they could serve the Lord. And likewise, Christian, to serve the Lord, we must be united in spirit and in brotherly love with God's people. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And you see this from the words of Paul as he writes here to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And look at what Paul says. And here's the great apostle Paul, the great missionary and theologian and church planter of the New Testament. And he says in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity," and that's another word for Christian brotherly love, "I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing," says Paul. Look at the final verse. He says, "And now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these," he says, "is charity." What does that teach you and I as believers, brethren and sisters? It is this: whatever service we do as Christians, that service must be done with a Christ-like love and Christ-like charity. If it is to be valued, if it is to be accepted of God, it must be done with a loving heart. We read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, how as God's people it says we are to speak the truth, and we are to speak the truth with love. How vital, how important that is in our service for God and anything that we do for the Lord. The description of this unity, the commendation of this unity. Notice something else here from this psalm. Notice the outcome of this unity of the Spirit. Look at verse 3 there of the psalm. Notice what it says. It says, "As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." And there you see very clearly that the unity of the Spirit that the psalmist speaks of here, it leads to blessing. It leads to blessing amongst God's people. It's like the dew in the night. Unity of spirit, yes, it leads to spiritual refreshment amongst God's people. You think of dew, how it cools the air, it refreshes the earth. And likewise, love in the heart of the believer towards others, especially as fellow believer, it cools the scorching passions of the human heart. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. The Bible says, charity suffereth long, is not easily provoked. Christian, whenever you act with charity and kindness toward others, their temper will be subdued. Their wrath will be mellowed against you as a believer. We can say further, this unity of the Spirit is something that softens the heart. Again, you think of dew, it keeps the ground soft. It keeps the ground pliable. And likewise, Christian, the unity of the Spirit will keep your heart soft. It will keep your heart as a believer tender to God, tender to His work, tender to His word, tender to His will, and indeed tender to His people. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in the verse number 2, there Peter is writing to God's people. And he says this, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye might grow thereby. And these Christians, he was encouraging them to grow. But you know, they could only grow in their faith and in their knowledge of God's word if they left aside carnality, if they left aside bitterness, if they left aside strife. For in the verse before that, he says these words to them. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And brethren and sisters in Christ, if we are to grow in the things of God, then it's important that we do not get hard-hearted, that we do not allow bitterness to come in amongst us, amongst our relationship, even with other believers and other saints of God. And sadly, over the years in God's work, I've seen God's people, yes, the very best of God's people. And they've had a disagreement with other believers over certain things, and bitterness has come in amongst them. And it has hindered them in their walk with God and their witness for Christ. And let it be a warning to us all to be on our guard as God's people. Also, this unity of the Spirit we see here is fruitful. You think of dew, it enables the vegetation to grow and to be fruitful. And Christian, whenever we are united in spirit with our fellow believers, we will grow in other graces as well. The Bible tells us that. For it says in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Then it says, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And all these graces, they follow on in the life of the Christian. There's an adding, there's a building. They follow on from the grace of love and brotherly kindness and Christian charity. And then we see here from the psalm that the unity of the Spirit is something that is blessed. Look at the final statement there of the psalm. It says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And that shows us that God blesses the church that is united. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. The church that is united is strong. It is courageous against sin, against the world, against the flesh, against the devil, against false religion and false teaching. You think this morning of a sledgehammer, whenever it is in pieces before it is made, different pieces of iron, iron ore, it can break nothing. But whenever that ore is smelted and joined together in the furnace and it becomes one, then that sledgehammer can be used to break the strongest of rocks. And likewise, whenever God's people are united, the church of Christ will be strong. Strong against evil, strong against error. In our own province, there's an expression we've often heard, even in the field of politics, united we stand, divided we fall. But it is equally true of the church of Christ and the work of God. The church that is united is strong and blessed and used of God. We see that time after time in the Scriptures. Turn over to the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 1, and just look at what you read about the early New Testament church, Acts chapter 1. And look at verse number 14. Look at what it says about the early church. It says, these all continued, notice it, with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with us, men. They were united as one in the place of prayer. They were united together in prayer, this band of God's people. Turn over to Acts chapter 2, the following chapter. Go over to verse number 42, and again you see reference made to their unity. It says of the early church, and they continued steadfastly, notice it, in the apostles' doctrine, that's the preaching, the ministry of God's word, fellowship. There was that coming together as a body of people. And in the breaking of bread, they were together as one and in prayers around the Lord's table. This was the mark of the early New Testament church. What was the outcome? God poured out His Spirit. Look at the final statement there of Acts chapter 2. It says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And people, here we see why this unity is so important. Because it is really the key to blessing in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Notice one final thought here from this psalm, very briefly. Notice the source of this unity. When you look again at verse number 3, and you'll see the source of this unity, it says, as the Jew of Hermon, and as the Jew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. Speaks here of Jew descending. Where does Jew descend from? The heavens, from the sky. And what's the psalmist telling us, teaching us here, this unity that is spoken of and described in our text, it comes from God. It's from the Lord Himself. It is the Lord that gives this unity, that this blessing amongst His people. And surely then, as God's people, this should teach us the importance of praying. Praying, yes, for our local church. Praying that we would know that spirit of unity, oneness, accord, agreement in all things as the people of God in the local church, in the local assembly. That is something Christ prays for. Turn again over to John chapter 17, and you'll see that again, believer, from what Christ prays here in John chapter 17. Look at verse 20, verse 21. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through the word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And believer, when you pray for unity, oneness, accord amongst God's people in the local church, you're following the example of Christ. You're praying in the will of God. You're praying after the very legacy of Christ. This is something surely for us to pray for as the people of God, even among ourselves here as this congregation, in this aspect of God's work. It is something we are to protect. It's something we are to guard. Go over to that chapter we read earlier to Ephesians chapter number 4. And look at what Paul says there to God's people. Ephesians chapter number 4. And look at what he says there in verse number 1, 2, and 3 of the chapter. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice it. Endeavoring, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. In other words, this is something to be worked at, something to be guarded, something to be cherished, something to be protected and prayed over by the people of God and by the Church of Christ and the local assembly. Therefore, people of God, let us pray much for that unity of spirit, that bond of peace that is mentioned in our readings this morning. Pray for that to prevail. For it is something, believer, that is good, pleasant to the Lord. Something that leads to the blessing of God upon His church here on earth. And I believe it prepares the church of Christ on earth for the church glorified in heaven. For what is heaven? It's a place of perfect peace. It's a place of perfect harmony. It's a place of perfect agreement and perfect accord. And by heeding the testimony of the psalmist, what are we but doing as God's people? Preparing ourselves for heaven. Preparing ourselves for glory. There's one in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Let me say this in closing. That if you are to be united with God's church on earth, if you are to be united with God's church in heaven and glory, then now in time you need to be united to Christ. You need to come as a repentant sinner unto Christ, confess your sins to Him, and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. For it is only by faith in Christ alone that you can enter into God's family, enter into God's kingdom, and be sure of heaven. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Don't go away this morning without the Lord. Unite with Christ, trust Him as Savior. Then on earth, unite with the church of Christ, militant on earth. Praise God, one day you'll unite with the church glorified in heaven. We're going to bow together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here in Thy house this morning. Bless Thy word and bless Thy truth to our hearts today. And even as a fellowship, as a congregation, bind us together as one with that accord, that agreement, that oneness, that unity that is of God. For Thou said in Thy word that there the Lord will command the blessing, even life forevermore. Help us to guard that unity. Help us, Lord, to protect and to preserve that unity and to foster that unity. And Lord, for any in our gathering today and they're not saved, they're out of Christ, they're apart from God and the people of God, speak to them. And even today may they come and trust the Lord as their Savior. Bless all who stay around the table of the Lord, for any that cannot stay, be with them on their homeward journey. And return us again in Thy will this evening hour. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us. For we do pray and we do ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 411. 411. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like Thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We'll stand as we sing after the singing of the first verse. I'll be going to the door. You cannot stay for the Lord's table. We'll be there to greet you as you leave, but we would encourage as many as possible to remain behind and to remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way. 411, we'll stand as we sing.